Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Well, it's another busy weekend coming up and it's time to find out what's happening in the wonderful world of Newark Sport. But first, Tony, press that button. The one job I can give him and he's actually good at. It's that time of year when our thoughts turn towards the Newark and Sherwood Sports Awards. Matt Snee's here to talk about all things sports awards. A couple of changes for this year, but after last year's stunning success, he's got to fill Helen Ellison's boots. And after a very busy weekend of running, who has the Radio Newark panel of judges chosen as their runner of the week? And it's not from Not Fast, and they're not from Striders. 20 past 7, we will find out. We're going to talk about the national stories. We're going to talk about the local stories. I'm Rick Bradley. He's Tony Smith. And of course, this is Radio Newark Sport. Okay, so you don't invite the top tier of professionalism from Active for Today and not make him work. So we're going to bring Matt Snee right in at the beginning as we get to, as we start by being slightly controversial. So first of all, good evening, Matt. Very warm welcome back to Radio Newark.
Evening, Mick. How are we doing?
I'm very well. I take it you've sort of locked the gate so Helen can't get in.
Yes,
that's it. She'd be out there climbing up levels. I do the sports awards.
Yeah, she's also been on the radio. She's got a face for the radio. Right? This is how I'm going to check if she's listening, you see. So,
you'll soon find out.
I will. Yeah, I can't believe it's been... how long has it been since I was... about 6 weeks?
It must be a little bit more, maybe longer
than that, 8 weeks.
And I've seen you dressed as a... alligator or crocodile or what is it?
All in the day's work. These modern times of austerity measures, you've got to jump into the suit that fits, haven't you?
Seen you pretending to be a lollipop lady and anyway, we'll come back to that. There really is only one place to start this week, and we've talked about it all week. Ben Stokes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say right. Gout.
No, we're not talking about gout. That hurt.
Okay.
Ben Stokes.
Yes.
It's moved on again today. Many people will have seen, some will have not seen. There is a video released by the Daily Express, which, if it is correct, doesn't show Ben Stokes in a very, very good light at all. Now, hang on.
As a journalist, I've got to say, it could have been any ginger idiot.
Stop me again, aren't he? Right. Anybody gets in a fight, that, you know, that's life. But point one, and Matt's already mentioned this one, why are English professional cricketers, the top English professional cricketers, out in a nightclub at 2:30, halfway through a series of matches? Somebody needs to answer questions there to start with. Stokes and Hales need to look at themselves very strongly. You know, you're privileged. You're very good at what you do. You earn lots of money. Why are you there for somebody to have a pop at you? That's one. The English authorities, cricket authorities, assuming they knew they was out, need to look at themselves as well, because it was a disaster waiting to happen. I mean, both of them got away with it time after time, but... in this day and age, it's a disaster waiting to happen. But if this Daily Express video is correct, and I'm making no comment, I'll let you look at it yourselves, then you have got to think Ben Stokes' England career is finished. Matt.
Yeah, so I'll start with a bit of a name drop, really. I played against Ben when I was 15. He's a school year younger than me, but a very similar age. He was playing for Cumbria at the time. I was playing for Lincolnshire, and we played at Boston. And he was an absolute phenomenal talent, and he continued that all the way through the junior age groups with England. And he's become this absolutely fantastic cricketer. You know, he's a pivotal part of the England team, both with the bat, ball, field. He's now his vice captaincy, but with that comes a level of responsibility. And you know, for young, he's 26, 27. How old he is? You know, for young lads, there's a little bit of excuse. But they go through these academy systems now. They're trained in how to talk to media. They're trained in how to behave. They've got absolutely everything for them. You know, they're rested when they're tired. They get a chance to go on holiday. They get a chance to do this. They get a chance to... So, at the bare minimum, when they are down to play, surely they should just keep in their heads down. Of course, have a few beers in the hotel after the game. But, you know, they've got... The next game's tomorrow, the next game. Yeah, the next game's tomorrow. And then that's it, then, until November the 5th. We're off to a plane to Australia. They've got, realistically, 4 weeks off. And go to Dubai. They love going to Dubai and Abu Dhabi to train and relax, because nobody knows them there. That's 4 weeks they've got then to let the hair down and do stuff. We've all gone through careers. We've all had, you know, bad times, good times. But he's asking for trouble, I think. I really do think you're asking for trouble if you're going out till that time in the morning and not conducting yourself in a way, because like you said off air, someone's always going to have a pop at you. Someone's there to knock you off your perch, whether you're manager of a leisure centre or whether you're in England. someone's always ready to have that dig at you. So you've got to put yourself in such a positive light.
That Matt is absolutely true, because you get in the neck about the leisure centre. When I was secretary of the Newark Sunday League, I couldn't go out into Newark without somebody having a pop about how it was run. You, Tony, had years and years of it, because you could put what you like on the back of that newspaper, somebody wouldn't like it. So you sort of go into a shell a little bit. You go into your select group of friends that you can trust.
If I was going out for a drink and never went into town, I always stayed at the outposts like the Broadway or the Spring House.
Yeah, with people that you know. Yeah. And you can trust.
But, I mean, basically, it was... I mean, in the latter days of the Broadway, it wasn't with people. I was the only person in there. But it was just somewhere where you could go, sit in the corner with your pint and read a paper. And you didn't have somebody coming up to you, not necessarily having a pop, but to say, let me tell you about my 12-year-old son who's a cracking left-back. You know, I've been doing that all day, love, please. You know, not now. But basically...
Whoever's advising Ben Stokes, and Ben Stokes himself, they've got to take a long, hard look at themselves, because that's one very good cricket career, I would suggest, is coming to a premature end. Right, second subject. Big wins last night this week for both the Manchester clubs. Chelsea sneaked in with a very good win at Atletico Madrid. Is the Champions League trophy coming back to England this season? Are we, for the first time in a good number of years, actually challenging for that trophy? Because if you look outside into Europe, Real Madrid aren't exactly pulling any trees up, are they? They're third in the league. They're not the Madrid that you know. Barcelona have lost one of their fab three up front. PSG, when they're good, they're very good. But when they're bad, you know, they're not... You never know what PSG you're going to get. Bayern Munich are struggling. The sack Ancelotti today, haven't they? He's gone. So they're struggling. Is this the year that we could bring that Champions League trophy back to England? And yes, I will say it, even Celtic.
And I was just to say, I mean, logically, it's going north of the border, Mick.
I thought that. Yeah. Celtic's first away win in Europe since the Wonder Thing in 1960 something. But, Matt, could it come back to this country this year? Are City, United or Chelsea? I don't think Liverpool are up to it. City, United or Chelsea, are they good enough now to compete with the best?
I think we've got three teams that are, for the first time in a number of years, capable of actually challenging. You know, whereas if you hear people talk, you hear fans talk. Recently, yeah, anything from sort of 2012 onwards, when Chelsea kind of won it a little bit by chance, people have been suggesting that getting to the semi-finals or getting to the finals is actually an achievement, whereas now we've probably got three teams there that on their day are as good as anybody else in Europe. Realistically, it's far too early to predict sort of which one out of the three, because it all depends on who they draw, how they're getting on in the league, injuries. You know, it's almost a unified bid together to get an English team, or British team, sorry.
So no, it will be an English team.
somewhere near. Yeah, it's like, I think, you know, it's quite easy to belittle Real Madrid. They've won it two times in a row. You can't see them going for a full season and not achieving anything at all. You know, if they're out of the league by Christmas, they might only have one thing to go for.
So
then again, you never know, and that all of a sudden it changes everything. But in answer to your question, short, yes, we've got three teams that are capable. So three teams out of 32 teams in the competition are very capable of winning it.
And I'm not even going to talk to you because we're only talking about Celtic.
I was just going to say that Manchester City go against everything. Pep Guardiola and Manchester City go against everything that the sofa analysts say. You've got to build from the back. Strong goalkeeper, strong back four.
They will get caught out when they play a good team. Man United probably will not get caught out.
But Manchester City build from the front. They're fantastic going forward, but they've had three successive clean sheets at least.
Man United can win 1-0. I'm not sure Man City can. Let's find out what's going off locally. And a large number of our runners took part in the Robin Hood Marathon last Sunday. First strider home was Dan Stephen, while Pete Clark was first in for Not Fast. Stephen Sue Needham spent the weekend at Euro Disney running. Why would you? But there you go. On Saturday, both of them completed the 10K and even got an extra medal off Mickey for completing the same events at Disneyland in the USA earlier on this year, and we did report on that one. And on Sunday, they completed the half marathon, both finishing in a time of 2 hours 36 minutes. And Tuesday's sports show guest, Flo Littman, finished fourth best female in the under-16 race at the latest round of the West Midlands Cyclocross League. And remember, as she told us, she's only 11 years old.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
I went to Euro Disney with my family and met Mickey Mouse. And it was...
And Mickey's never recovered.
No, I did check, and he hasn't got a Newark Advertiser watch.
Moving swiftly on.
That's my new career, anyway. If it all goes down the pan, I can be Mickey Mouse, can't I?
No, you've had the training. Last time I saw you, you was relatively stressed because you was having a very busy cycling week. Now you've had time to sort of sit back and analyse that week. Was it a success?
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing from start to finish. So, I kind of leave the tour day itself because that was an unbelievable event in itself. But the way in which the community, the cycling clubs within the community, sort of pull together, you know, I can't think of many other sports that I've been associated with anyway. And you know, the running actually is one in this town that the clubs come together. But the clubs work together. The clubs had this unified idea that they wanted more people cycling. They wanted, whether that be on the road, mountain biking at Sherwood Pines, you know, it doesn't matter what it was, they wanted more people cycling and getting the benefits of cycling and doing what made them happy. So all of the events that we did within this Festival of Cycling were to get people active and get them on the bike. So whether that be an introductory ride into a peloton with either Velo Club Flintham, or it might be a time trial with the Castle Cycling Club, or a mountain bike trail with the Sherwood Pines that I've just mentioned. Everything that we did was to try and entice and try and inspire people to jump on a bike. So that, the individual events around that, you know, we've got something about 120 people extra accessing clubs that probably wouldn't do, that realistically, before they probably cycled on their own or with a partner, recreationally, they actually joined the club and they got some of the benefits of being within that club, whether it be for a trial period or whether that be permanently for the sort of year's membership with the club. So that was sort of one aspect of the Festival of Cycling. The second aspect, which was my highlight of the week actually, and I enjoyed it more than the Wednesday tour itself, was the Tuesday night. the Tuesday Go Ride event in the town centre. Despite the weather, despite the obstacles, despite the pending road closures, despite everything, it was such a successful event. And to see the faces of the young people who were riding around and their parents and everything that came from that event was unbelievable. I have never been involved in such a positive event. Newark Castle Cycling Club, especially Paul Bermont, kind of orchestrated it all with the help from the council, with the help from Active Today. But it was mainly a club event with facilitated by the council, by the town council as well. And the amount of people that benefited from that were unbelievable. We had the craft market in there. It was just such a nice place to be. And then coming on to the Wednesday, the tour itself, well, it's been pretty well documented across social media, across the council's website. We saw the sheep farmer in Coddington. We saw all the community engagement yeah. across, you know, the places that, you know, quite a lot of people have probably never heard of. You know, places like Edenley, getting on the map, getting something in there. You know, places like Billsthorpe, who, you know, it's traditionally quite difficult to engage the community. They were fantastic, and they were getting people on there. There were yellow bikes everywhere. I was driving to work through Collingham, and it's absolutely, you know, decorated to the high heavens in Southwell. And then the actual event in the finish in Newark itself, we had such a fantastic crowd. We were blessed with the weather. We had a couple of showers earlier on, but it was very good weather. You know, I watched the day before in Scunthorpe. I've got a lot of friends that work within sports development in Scunthorpe. They didn't quite have the luck with the rain, with the weather, and, you know, the crowds they got were pretty poor in comparison. We had a fantastic amount of people littered around, loads of people. I worked with local schools volunteering at the event. The event part was just buzzing. The word buzzing was sort of created for that sort of event. Everyone was so positive. You know, there was the odd gripe about the road closure, everything like that, but generally it was very positive. And it's such a fantastic event and such a great thing to be associated with.
I think Radio Newark gave it great coverage as well, with Matt Colborne out on the circuit, and they said the main peloton is just going past the castle. Hello.
I'm afraid Matt didn't quite realise that the Channel 4 feed was about 3 or 4 seconds after it was really happening, and he'd got the feed on his laptop standing in the middle of the Bewman Cross, and they've just gone round the white swarm. Which, if nothing else, proved how fast it was going between the two.
Yeah.
His face was an absolute picture, and I've never let him forget that one.
No.
But we was covering, because it was a great day, and it was a great day for Newark, and it put Newark on the map, didn't it? People was looking at Newark, and we at least managed to move all our cars out of the day, which is more than we said for some other market towns in this county. And on that note, we'll go to this. Well, to prove that we are live, of course, we're trying to get in touch with our runner of the week. I know he's working, so it's going to be a little bit difficult. No, he's ringing us. Hopefully he's going to ring back, Tony. I've left a message. It has to ring. I'll tell you, it's a bit difficult. He's used to a pen and paper. No, if you put it there, that's right. And when he rings, I'll tell you. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it really is difficult. So we will carry on. Chatting. Some of Matt must have been here and gone before you even blinked, with the half marathon to start the thing off, then the tour of Britain, plus all your activities that Active for Today put on during the summer. But right at the end of the summer the other week, and I will come back to this again, everybody sort of had a downer with what happened at the Grove Sports Centre, Alexis. At the Grove Sports Centre, everybody was on a sort of downer, and particularly the people. I mean, Alexis came in here with Martin Picker, came in here to talk about it. We know it was going to get demolished, and we knew it was life expired, and it was an old building, and it was getting to be an eyesore. But it was an old building that everybody in Newark actually loved, and it was a sad way to end it. I just think you're probably too young to be too involved with the Grove.
Well, I'm not a Newark lad as well, so I haven't sort of got that affiliation to the building. But I was about to say, I had about 6 months to a year there in several different guises. So I was kind of in and out. I never really stayed there for too much time. But I said I picked it up on the Friday night, actually, on the Radio Newark live Facebook thing. I saw it, And I thought that was wow. And that's a good bit of marketing, that, wasn't it?
It was.
I have to watch out for you, make sure you've got no matches.
It was hard work, but it was. Yeah, exactly.
But no, I picked it up, and the severity of it, because it was obviously only digitally that I saw it, the severity of it didn't really kick in. And then a couple of lads who I work with who live locally sort of mentioned it. And it got to the Saturday morning, and I was just having a coffee, and I looked, saw some of the pictures, and I saw some of the chat about it, where I started understanding the severity of it. Because initially, I kind of sat back and thought, well, it's getting demolished anyway, it's probably just kids, etc., etc. But having spoke to some of the staff and some of the people that have associated so much of their time and lives with it, you know, it's always going to be a sad end to, yeah, to such a thing. And, you know, it's the same as anything. If you know it's coming, it's a little bit easier to deal with, but it was the way in which it happened and the sort of the mindlessness of such, you know, and the knock-on effect of that, the safety implications, etc., etc. You know, it's, unfortunately, it's a very sad end to the building.
It was, and it was, and you know, we've said all this before, and I've got an overall grand, I know, but it was a much loved building, and it was a sad end to a fantastic summer for Active for today, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It put a bit of a dampener on it, really. We say we've been involved. We've been involved in lots of activities across the summer. By involved, we've been facilitating some, we've been helping out with others, we've been part funding some of them, such as a time trial for Newark Castle Cycling Club. You know, but we, as the figurehead of sports development within the district, we do put our effort towards a lot of the activities and things. And you know, that going back to that building, that held a lot of memories. A lot of people grew up there. A lot of people learnt their trades there. So a lot of staff members who sort of earned their stripes, their apprenticeships, etc. There, and you know, buildings like that, and the whole held close to people's hearts.
They are. Let's have a quick look. What's happening in the national sport, and I think it's probably going to be a story that we've already mentioned.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
And it's understood that the England cricketer Ben Stokes will be re-interviewed by police under caution in the next few days following his arrest in Bristol earlier on this week. He was detained on suspicion of causing actual bodily harm but released without charge. After viewing the footage, the England and Wales Cricket Board says that Stokes and Alex Hales won't be available selection until further notice. England football manager Gareth Southgate has been speaking ahead of the World Cup qualifiers next week. Dele Alli is in the squad, even though it's not yet known if the Tottenham midfielder will be banned by FIFA for making an alleged obscene gesture to the referee. Or was it to his teammate? Who knows? He claims it was directed at Kyle Walker, but that's not official. Yeah, we've all been there on that one. Leicester striker Jamie Vardy, he's injured and he will miss the game. England need 2 points from their games against Slovenia and Lithuania to guarantee qualification for Russia. Meanwhile, the Wales manager Chris Coleman says he's been hugely impressed by David Brooks' performances in the Championship, and the Sheffield United midfielder has been called into the senior squad for the first time for the matches against Georgia and the Republic of Ireland.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
You're listening to Radio Newark Sport on the wireless with me and him and him. And now we're going to talk to him about the sports awards. Matt, the highlight of your year to come, probably the most pressured part of your career to come, but the part that Tony and I take great interest in and really love it and get behind it, because putting some of these names that we're going to see come forward and look back at the achievements of the last 12 months, and that's what it's all about. And this is bigger than the BBC ones, because we do ours first, so this is much, much bigger. We don't need Gary Lineker.
But I used to really enjoy it when it was held at the Palace Theatre, and it was a real sense of a occasion, and I didn't think it'd work going out into the community and actually doing it at the places where they actually achieved their great sporting achievements. But it was brilliant. It was really, really quality sort of going out and actually doing outside broadcasts in public. It was a brilliant time.
I just want to take you back until last December.
and just remind everybody of who won what and how we did it. Because, like Tony, I was distinctly apprehensive about this idea of not having a shirt and tie do at the palace or somewhere. And I was persuaded by two very persuasive ladies that it would work. And actually, I hate to admit it, but they was right. It did work.
Don't get that recorded, eh?
No, no. Recorded, and they'll never let me forget it. There's 12 categories last year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 12. The junior sports person of the year, and this is how good this is, because I always think the junior sports person is the hardest category of all 12, because the sporting talent that we see on this show I could have picked probably half a dozen that I could argue that should have won that last year.
A dozen.
And probably another half a dozen that was in with a shout. The winner last year was Olivia Mathias. Mm. And, of course, it had to be Olivia, really, didn't it? Because she's representing her country. And she's representing not just... She's coming back with silver medals from World Championships. Yeah, yeah. So, quite rightly, Olivia Mathias won it. But it's up for grabs again this time, Matt, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think, alluding to your point about choosing the junior one, I think... I can't remember back to the panel back in November 2016. With the junior ones, it's quite difficult because of the level of competition always has to be a factor in there. So, you know, whether that is anyone from sort of under sevens all the way up to under 18s, you've got to take into account the level of competition, sort of the how competitive the actual sport is as well at that age group. So you've got to take all of these factors into account, which is why, and I come on to it about the nomination form, the information that we get is pivotal. So when it does come to the vote, the information that's provided, the top five achievements and then the justification as why that person has been put forward, that gives us an indication of something to talk about at the panel. Unfortunately, we've only got information that has been provided as well, so that is where it comes in. But back to the point about the junior sports person, what a category to choose there. It's a very exciting one, because that is when you do realise... especially nowadays with the way social media things work, how well represented we are across the district through many different sports, both most importantly both male and female, how well represented we are across these representative sides. So for Nottinghamshire, for maybe for East Midlands, for the north of England, or for Great Britain, you know, it's great, it's fantastic.
Can individuals or teams retain the award?
Absolutely, yeah. So it goes on the achievements that they've done in the past 12 months. So for a winter sport, it will be the season starting sort of September 2016, finishing April, May 2017. And for a summer sport, it'll be the season that's just finished now in September 2017. So that's sort of time frame for the period. Obviously, that's for traditional team sports. For other sports, there still are seasons, it got a bit more of a rounded view, but that's a general consensus. So anything achieved since the last sports awards, we'll keep it brief at that.
I'm not going to sort of put names in for all 12 tonight, but I'm just going back to this junior sport. Before we even start really to look at nominations, Amy Hunt, the fastest girl in the country at 100 metres, GB International. Anna Smith represented England in the Commonwealth Youth Games. Ed Howlett, GB International. And that's before we even start to think. I tell you what, someone's going to have fun with that one.
Yeah.
And that's going to go on. And Olivia came into this show, and she came into this show with the senior sportsperson of the year last season, which was our dear friend Lynn Coombs. Lynn, of course, had been playing hockey for GB. Isn't it great, Matt, how many Newark and Sherwood sports people have got GB written across the shirt?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially for a conversation that we've had at a different time, due to sort of facility constraints that we have in the town. Traditionally, we haven't had the funding thrown at it when Olympic sport and when the lottery got involved sort of for 96 onwards. That's the last 20 years. We haven't benefited from one of those projects where they just chucked money at it left, right and centre for facilities, where you sort of expect that outcome. The people within the town and within the district realistically have had to work at it using facilities that are below standard, I would say. So below standard for cross-country. So
isn't it polite, Tony?
Mm.
Yeah. Carry on.
And to do that, almost...
You have to be with the 9 o'clock threshold, don't you?
Yes. almost, you know, without sounding a bit too cheesy, to achieve that in the face of adversity is absolutely fantastic. You know, we are not in a traditional London borough that is has got a huge BME population whereby the money is chucked in it left, right and centre to build an athletics track and build this and build that and build the other. We have to work for every single square metre of football pitch that we get, never mind anything else. So it's fantastic to see local people from the north of England. We are the gateway to the north, aren't we?
We are.
From the north of England, representing GB, because if you look at it across the across the way finance works as well, you know, 90% of all finance is done in London, so you'd expect everything to come from a central area like that, but it's not. It's fantastic.
But don't even though I'm banging on about it's brilliant that they're wearing GB shirts, that's not the criteria you've got to have to enter these sports awards. Not at all.
No, and it can also be someone that's in any of the categories, really, that's only just taken up sport. You know, sometimes it is about their achievements and, you know, their achievements compared to what they did at the start of the year to what they did at the end of the year. If you have someone who's just started out in a sport and is now competing at a regional level, you'd be indicative of saying, wow, you know, well done, how a meteoric rise in what they've done. So it's all about their achievements. It's celebrating people's achievements. That's what it is all about.
So it could be an umpire?
No. Not one that can't count. On the Tuesday night, we got in the radio car and went out to Southall.
Yes.
And we spent an hour doing a live show in the company of the Southall Brincliffe Hockey Club, because their ladies won the senior team of the year and they also collected the club of the year, and it was a fantastic evening. I think that's what turned Tony's mind that this thing would work.
Yeah.
And it did work out there. There was great fun. That answers probably one of Tony's questions. One team of the year and club of the year, and they actually won the Nottinghamshire Ladies Hockey League.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going from internationals to the winners of the County Hockey League. As important.
Yeah, so that was sort of on the backdrop of that. So the presentation evening was done at the rugby club, and that was thanks to the sort of generosity of the rugby club. They share facilities. That's where the ladies have their teas after the game. So it's all part of this community spirit. So that's one thing that it does promote. Secondly, you know, it's quite a unique thing to win both Team of the Year and Club of the Year, because they are... Even though, in layman's terms, they can be very similar, they're not. You know, the team of the year is basically up purely on sort of achievements on the pitch. So the team of the year, how many games have you won? You know, it's on about IM cricket, you know, winning 16 games in a row. So how many games you won? Where are you? So the achievement of the actual team itself, that ladies' first team, for winning that league, compared to some of the teams that they are playing against, again, some of the facilities that they have on offer, etc., etc. That team was a great performance. But conversely, for the club of the year, they are a very well represented club within the town of Southwell. They have a fantastically well run third team, which is a social team. So they play midweek summer league fixtures. There are lots of people who traditionally played hockey at school, may have played at a college, may play at university. They still love the sport, but they haven't got the time to dedicate to playing every single Saturday or Sunday. So they play a midweek summer team. And the reason why they got Club of the Year is they hold such a well-regarded position within the community. So that's how you can get Club of the Year. And it just so happens that their first team performed absolutely fantastically well to achieve the Team of the Year.
So already, and you know, I mentioned the juniors, but already, and I tend to look at Newark. Matt has to look at Newark and Sherwood, and we've got to say that's important, Matt, haven't we?
Yeah.
Because whereas we go on and on about Newark, it's not, these awards are not Newark awards, are they? They are one of the biggest council districts in the country.
Yes, yeah, so Newark and Sherwood, as we all know, is a pretty vast district, and there is a lot of space in between Newark, but we know we do go all the way up to through Girton all the way up to sort of Dunham Bridge, and then we go across and we're near, very close to Tuxford, then we're going even further across sort of Edwinstow area, down through the Sherwood Forest, so there's all the way down then to Southwell and back up to Newark. So we've got a huge area, and we've got a huge amount of sporting teams, traditional sporting teams that are within that. You know, we've got ex-works teams, we've got pit teams, we've got village teams, we've got running clubs, everything like Bill's Folk Ladies Running Club, a fantastically well institution, 80 members, you know, in a little village of Bill's Folk. So you've got all these pockets of areas. So that's where the promotion of the awards comes in. It's making people aware of these clubs exist as well. That's a huge part of it.
Yes.
And inspiring people to get as much out of sports clubs as I have got out of the past. I'm sure you guys have as well. You know, exercise habits are changing. People go to the gym. People do things in their own time. They go out for a bike ride on their own. They do this in their own because they're working too much. But I still hold sports teams and sports clubs so close to my heart.
Do you... We obviously champion the Newark ones because that's what we are, we're Radio Newark, and you know, we're out and amongst them and we're talking to them all the time.
Yeah.
Is it difficult, Matt, to gain the same exposure in Alderton and Southwell to an extent?
Yeah, it's, I mean, for instance, I'm involved in different committees and different things around the district, so you know, the Newark one sorts of looks after itself. You know, some of our staff members are Newark based as well, which always helps, and we've got those local contacts. You've got constantly sort of touching base with people locally. In Southwell, I've got a similar network. We go through the Southwell Sports Forum where all the clubs are invited to come, you know, talk about facilities, talk about coaching, talk about everything that to do with sport. So that's a platform that we use to advertise the awards from. We've also got the Ollerton's Booton Sports Forum, where we do exactly the same thing. And so we have got representation in the district. Sometimes over the Western District, quite naturally, the people associate themselves as Mansfield people. Just because you have a Newark and Sherwood District Council logo on your bin doesn't mean you're sort of a Newark person. It's where you're from and where your roots are.
You talk different, me duck.
Yeah, so it's when working in communities like Bluediff and like Reneth to make sure people that are aware and do get represented and make the most of that, because it can be quite a throwaway statement to say, oh, I don't care about us, I want to do that, but it's completely the opposite to that. You know, we want to try and get as many clubs to celebrate how diverse the district is as well. You know, we've got areas of, you know, previous industry, we've got affluent villages, we've got lots of different areas, and we want to celebrate absolutely everything within that.
He's very good, isn't he, to say he's not a Newark person. He says Reneth, he says Bluediff, yeah, and he says Southwell.
Exactly,
you know, I mean, that's absolute credit to him. Somebody's been teaching him.
Elocution lessons, I have.
You need to get that right, or you're in trouble around here. On the Thursday night of the Sports Awards Week, we had, you know, sitting behind this desk, I have, if you like, a bucket list, and two things that I've achieved and I never thought I would achieve. I had the commentary at the fire, I never wanted to achieve it, but I've now done a live outside broadcast, I've done a football commentary, and you know, you just tick them off as, I never thought I could do that, but I've done it. Badly, good, I don't know, that's for people to decide, but I've done it.
Badly.
Yeah. The night at the rugby club, we went there with the rugby people, obviously, and along come Jacob Hayes from the 4A's, because he won the junior disabled sports person.
That wasn't just a special night for Radio Newark, it was one of the highlights of my life.
Well, there you go. And then we talked to Mark Dobb, who won the coach of the year from the Newark Rugby Girls, and the Newark Rugby Girls themselves won the junior team of the year, and everybody knows I've sort of got an affiliation to that setup because they are my favourites. They are, everybody knows that, so it's no good I'll try and argue the point.
At least you're honest.
And we talked about what, you see, here we go again, Matt. They didn't just win the national trophy. What happened with Victoria Line and the car accident and the way they looked after Victoria? Sometimes it even goes beyond what you achieve on the field, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was more than winning the the national championships, wasn't it? Yeah, that was almost a secondary story, I believe, to what they achieved as a group of people. And that's we talk about sport and how it prepares you for life. You know, it used to be used as a tool to prepare lads for war, so that's what sport was. You know, it was brought in for that reason. But now it's used, and we say it's used to prepare people for life. And rugby is one of those very stereotypical sports that people say it does that. If you hear an article on the radio about contact tackling all that over the last couple of days. Back to what I was about to say, preparing you for life, it prepares you for setbacks. Sport and, it's community. You know, you are in a community, you all have a shared interest. So you have that shared interest of playing rugby and playing sport. And what that team was and what the club is a community. And what that community did is that prepared those girls in that team to be able to soldier on and get on with their lives in the face of something that wasn't very nice. Unfortunately, as you get older, you know, 15 it's a strange old age. As you get older, these things become more apparent, and they take over a bigger part of your life. And they prepared them girls for that. So they've not only have they won a fantastic achievement in the winning the national championships, they've prepared these citizens, you know, these Newark people, and getting them better people. What a fantastic service that is. You know, that's what it's all about, and that's why Mark in particular won his award. You know, the girls won their award because of what they achieved on the pitch and off the pitch. Mark did that for both, but you know, as a whole, what a shout out to the club for preparing these people to progress in life.
We laughed and we cried and
we cried a lot
and we cried again. Yeah. And not really sure how me, you and Helen managed to keep talking at times, but we got through it, and it was a great night. So, you know, there again, Matt, three more trophies, and again we're talking about trophies that wasn't won just because they achieved A, it's what they also achieved B, C and D in the background. So anybody out there listening, I've said before, you don't have to be at the top of the tree, but you can be doing an awful lot. And our senior disabled sports person of the year went to Jeanette Stevens, Blind Nettie. That's what everybody calls her. That's what she calls herself, Blind Nettie. And Nettie had been in not a very nice place. She'd gone blind unexpectedly, very quickly, and she was housebound for a long time. And then she was persuaded to go to a park run, and she did the park run, and now she's taking others out there and she's leading leading by example, and she's smiling and she's laughing, and sport has given her a life back. And there again, Matt, she doesn't wear a GB vest or anything like that, but it's somebody who's gone through hell and come out the other side.
Yeah, sport, you know, this is why the sports awards are so important, because you are celebrating clubs, you're celebrating individuals who have achieved things, and sport is a great tool to do that. You know, music people will argue music is a great tool to do that. It is. Arts people, you know, will argue arts do that, and theatre, it does. This is just what we're passionate about, is sport, and it is a perfect platform to make the best of every situation, everything that you are presented with. You know, we talked earlier about the lads celebrating the cricket win, etc. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, we're here. The amount of volunteers that are involved in sport, the amount of clubs that people do things, people go, you know, up and down the country, parents taking their children up and down the country, getting disappointed 4 weeks out of five, but they do it because, you know, on week five they'll achieve something anyways. So yeah, we are here to celebrate everything, and I would much rather have to extend the panel to 4 hours long because we get double the amount of nominations. That would be nice, actually.
we did that last year.
Yeah.
We doubled last year.
Yeah. So it's almost imperative that we celebrate, and that's, with that will come some quite natural disappointment. We can't give an award to everyone, but you know, surely nominating someone, being nominated for award, to me, is an achievement in itself. Yes. It actually is more, can be as honourable as winning an award, because you know that someone's thought about it. Someone's thought, I know somebody who completely fits that category. You know, imagine being nominated for Volunteer of the Year. How good would you feel if someone said, you are the best volunteer that I know in Newark and Sherwood? That, to me, is, if someone thinks about it in that way, and that is great.
The Volunteer of the Year award went to Peter Davis.
Yeah.
And Peter Davis was, he won't say it, but he was the brainchild behind the return of the Newark Half Marathon. And the Newark Half Marathon is now established again as a flagship event of this town. Although I've got to say, the cycling boy was very close.
Yeah, nice to have both. Maybe a fortnight apart.
Yeah, there you go. Three if more possible. Awards. We're going to talk about, and then Matt's going to tell you how you can enter, and Matt's going to keep coming back and coming back and coming back, because we are going to go on about this now right until the big day. Now, I say there's 12 awards, Matt. You've moved a couple of them around a bit, haven't you? You've just slightly jiggled.
Yeah, we've just moved it back to 11, and what we have done is combined the school sports team of the ward into the junior team of the ward. That's just to make the whole thing a bit more efficient. As we all know, involved in schools and things, schools are very, very hard to keep in contact with and get nominations from. And what we have been doing, we've highlighted two or three school teams that we think, you know, have achieved something quite significant in the last 12 months. And we've asked the people already to send nominations through, so to ensure that they are still represented within that category.
But a school team is a junior team.
Yeah, it's exactly.
It is the same thing, isn't it?
It's the same thing, yeah. And it was just to make our processes a little bit easier and make our presentation week that bit more efficient as well, to try and maximise the time we can spend at other clubs.
Okay, I'm just making a note of that. The Sam White Junior Volunteer of the Year, that's the only award that's got somebody's name at the front of it. Yeah. And when we talk about the summer, of course, the week previous to the fire, you named the Newark Academy Sports Centre after Sam. It was lucky it was that week and not the following week,
I know. It's just, yeah, it's another sad thing as well associated with it. But yeah, you know, people in Newark, the story of Sam is well documented. And it's an absolute credit to him that the sports facilities at the academy have been named after him as well. And, you know, to continue his legacy, the Junior Volunteer of the Year award is called the Sam White Junior Volunteer Award because of the amount of work that he did. Now, this is, in terms of achievements, again, this is quite difficult just to put a quantification against it. So you can't say, oh, this person, you know, was the best volunteer. This one is obviously naturally a bit more subjective. So we want to hear the stories of your junior volunteers. Have you got, is there a young boy or girl that didn't quite like playing, so they're taking up doing the catering at the club? Or was there a young person that decided they want to do some officiating? You know, that is what it's all about.
Somebody who's prepared to, you know, a youngster that's working hard in about, I know Tony's got somebody lined up at Newark R&M, they're putting somebody forward.
Yeah.
A youngster that just gets on behind the scenes, he helps where he can and is there. And that, these days, you know, is an excellent start. And that leaves us with one, which is the Outstanding Contribution to Sport Award, which I've... would love to be called a Lifetime Achievement Award, and I do call it the Lifetime Achievement Award, because to win that, you've done something absolutely very special. And
you've made it, haven't you?
You've made it. Mm. Yes. Last year, the nominations was very strong. but the winner actually went to an old school friend of mine.
Yeah.
Tim Birch. And I sort of said, Tim, it couldn't have gone to a better person, because Tim, with Christine Ferguson, grabbed hold of the youngsters of Newark and turned them into hockey players. And you go down to that hockey club on a Sunday morning now. Yes, I know there's 500-600 at the rugby club playing rugby, but there's another couple of hundred youngsters at the hockey club. And to do that, and then Tim went out into the schools. When the schools stopped playing hockey, Tim went to the schools and talked about hockey and dragged them down to the Magnus. He wouldn't say no. And when we go and look at who's going to win the team of the year, and Tony's sort of flying the flag for Newark R&M, Newark Hockey Club's got three teams that won the championship. Already, we're strong. But Tim Birch won that. And again, the nominations are all people that's put a lifetime into trying to help in some way sport in Newark.
Yeah, so that's the one. That's the one award that we do that doesn't revolve around the last sporting season, whether it be summer or winter sport. This is something, as you quite say, it is a lifetime achievement award. So I know you alluded to it, Mick, quite tongue in cheek with regards to the nominations, but it was one of those, and I don't want to sound too cliche. You could literally talk about it. We're still talking about now. You know, the people who were nominated, the achievements that they had were unbelievable. You know, that is, this is where you can think, what has that person done for this sport? And you can keep nominating, you can keep reeling off the things that they have achieved. It is a fantastic, fantastic one to be. And this is a point, again, about being nominated. You know, I'm sure you felt proud about being nominated for it.
That's up there in my office, mate. Yeah. That's got pride in place.
By being nominated. Yeah.
That's got pride in place.
Everyone can't win. You know, sport naturally is about winning. But actually, this is about someone thinking about it.
You've got to be in a select band to be nominated.
Yeah.
That's right. Right, Matt, we're running out of time. Quickly, very quickly, how?
Right then. Go on to www.activefortoday.co.uk. On there, on the 1st of October, so the nominations are open for the whole month of October, so from the 1st to the 31st, you go on there. On the banner that will be scrolling across the screen, you are to click on Nominate Now for the Newark and Sherwood 2017 Sports Awards. You click on that, it sends you through to an online form. We have simplified the online form this year. It is as simple as possible, okay? There are some information you have to put down about yourself, because we have to contact you in order to get your nomination and get some more details if we require. There's no information about yourself. There's information about the person or team or group of people that you are nominating, and you can fill it out as best as possible. You put 5 achievements with a word limit of 20 words. It's just 5 basic achievements at that club, person, volunteer, anyone has achieved, and then you've got 200 words at the end to go through why you believe they deserve that award. If you do have any problems, my phone number's on there, all of Active Today contact details on there. There is a link to it also on the Radio Newark website, going live on the 1st of October, so there's a link to the form. There's a hard copy of the form if you want a hard copy. I can send a Word document. I can even bring one round to your house if you're that.
We will get it to you. We did that last year.
I did that last year.
Because quite frankly,
yeah,
these guys and girls have gone out there and excelled in their sport. So if the rest of us can't spend 5 minutes putting some pen to paper or whatever you do on the internet, it's a poor, poor show. Matt, I've run out of time. You're coming back again in the middle of October. You're coming back again at the end of October. We are going Sports Awards mad in October, I tell you. But just for this weekend, the Hockey Ladies' first home match of the season against Northampton. The other 3 Hockey Ladies' sides all away. Football, Flow Server away at Dunkirk, not the one over the water, the one in Nottingham. Newark Town are at home to second place Harworth. Rugby, Newark make the trip to Lincoln. Resurgent Newark make the trip to Lincoln. Richard Sheldrakes on his last round of the Lincoln Wheelers Rider of the Season competition. Cycling Hup led the mill. Must be mad. Finlay Cranage BMX Winter Series round 1 in Bulwell, and then it's all back to Lincoln again on the Sunday because it's the Lincoln Half Marathon. We've not named the runner of the week. We'll wait till next week. And I'll do 2 in 1 week, and we'll talk to our runner of the week when I can get hold of him, because tonight is all about the launch of those sports awards. Don't do nothing, do something. Fill in a form. Bye-bye.